As we continue our study of the Gospel of Matthew today, we want to look at what is commonly referred to as the Olivet Discourse. It is a new division in our study of the book. It refers to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples as he sat on the Mount of Olives on those days just prior to his crucifixion. The 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew is based upon what we learned in one of our previous studies in Matthew chapter 23. You will recall in the 39th verse, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." He preceded that statement with the words, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." And we pointed out that the word house is a reference to the temple, of which the Jewish nation was very, very proud. Put yourself in the position of the disciples of that day, if you will, and recognize how you would feel if one in whom you had all the confidence in the world said, "Your house is left. I'm through with it. Never again will the blessing of God rest upon it. I'm leaving, and I'm not coming back until you ask me to come back." Put yourself in their place and understand why there would be the concern expressed by the disciples in the first verse of chapter 24, where when Jesus went out of the temple, his disciples came to him to show him the beauty of the temple. And showing him the beauty of the temple, the implication was not showing him the building, but the rocks, the way in which the temple was put together without one need of tool or one need of adhesive. They said, "Lord, Master, Rabbi, could it be possible that this house will never mean anything again?" The Lord Jesus Christ gave his reply in verse 2 of chapter 24. Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." The second answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave was more startling even than the first, because he said, "You see what you see, and I see it. Look at it more closely. And as you do, remember this, there is the day coming when there will not be one stone left upon another. All of these stones, hand-hewn, so closely fitted together, there will come a day when not one of these stones will be left upon another." Now, no sooner did the Lord Jesus Christ make that reply than his disciples had questions arising in their minds. They left the temple and went out to the Mount of Olives, and when they were settled upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ three questions. These three questions are presented to us in the paragraph which begins with verse 3, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. "And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, a first reading of this verse would seem to indicate that there are only two questions which the disciples ask, but as we examine it, I think you'll be able to see, really, there are three. The disciples were very familiar with the prophetic word, such passages as Zechariah chapter 14. They knew spoke of the coming of the Lord. And they knew that when the temple was to be destroyed, the city was to be destroyed, and the Messiah would return. Because they knew their Bibles, they were able to ask three very intelligent questions. Question number one, when shall these things be? Literally, when will the destruction of the temple occur? Now, you will look in vain for the answer to that question in Matthew's Gospel. Certainly, you will not find it here in Matthew chapter 24, where the question was asked. And there's a reason for that. The apostles gave records of the events in the life of our Lord as they were moved by the Spirit of God, because each one of them had a special ministry to a special group of people. Oftentimes, people notice omissions or additions in the Gospels, and talk about the lack of inspiration in the sacred Word of God. There is no lack of inspiration. These are illustrations of the direction of the Holy Spirit. when each man, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, wrote as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, since Luke is primarily a disciple to the Gentiles, and since the destruction of the temple was something that was related to the inroad of the Gentiles upon the nation of Israel, Luke gave an answer. That answer is found in chapter 21 of the Gospel of Luke. And I think it would be wise for us to look at it for a moment. We can't read the entire chapter, but only the paragraph which deals with the subject we are discussing. I would suggest that when you have the time, you look in this chapter, study it in relation to the context. And I think you will arrive at the same thing that I have. Notice in Luke chapter 21, verse 20, "When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with enemies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." When will these things be? Literally, when will the destruction of the temple occur? The Lord Jesus Christ answered, "When you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, when you see Jerusalem under a siege like unto which she's never experienced before, then you will know that it's time for the temple to be destroyed. At that time, the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed, and you as a people will be scattered to the far corners of the world." Those of you who are familiar with history and your Bibles will recognize that Luke was speaking of that historical event which we commonly refer to as the fall of Rome under Titus, which occurred 70 AD. So the first question was answered, and the first question is now a matter of history. Go back to Matthew chapter 24, please, and notice the second question which they ask. "What shall be the sign of thy coming, Lord?" They said, "We have another question for you. Not only when will the temple be destroyed, but what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Notice carefully now that the word sign is singular. They didn't say, "What will be the signs," plural, but "What will be the sign," singular. The other apostles were to write quite at length about signs which would indicate that the coming of the Lord is near, which enable us to look expectantly for our Lord. But the question which the Lord Jesus Christ asked was, "What is the sign of thy coming?" Now, notice with me the word "coming." It is one of several Greek words which is translated by our English word "coming." In this instance, it's the word "parousia," which may mean presence, but because of historical usage of the word, has come to refer definitely to the king's return. What they were actually saying was, "What shall be the sign of the king's return? We want to know, for we want to be ready." Now, they had another question, because as I mentioned to you, their familiarity with the scripture associated three events together. They were wrong in associating the destruction of Jerusalem with that event, for Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, but they were right in associating the coming of the king with the end of the world. In the last part of verse 3, then, they ask the question, "What shall be the sign of the end of the world?" Now, we would like to call to your attention two words in that verse that you might understand it more accurately, reminding you that the word "end" is the translation of the Greek word "telos," which means consummation. When will the things that are being prophesied be brought to a final consummation? That was their question. They were not looking at the end of the age as you might look at the end of this sermon, or as you might look at the end of a book which you are reading. They wanted to know when all of these things would be fulfilled. What is the sign of the consummation of the end of the age? What is the sign when all prophecy would be fulfilled and would climax with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I would like for you to notice another word there in our text. It is the word world. World is a translation of the Greek word ion. Now, this is one of several Greek words that is translated by our English word world. This particular Greek word ion is translated most often by the word age. So actually what they were saying is, what is the sign of the end of the age? You may not know exactly what they were asking unless you are familiar with a truth that well-taught Bible students recognize, and that is that God deals with the human race on the basis of ages, periods of time. You will recall that when Adam and Eve were created, God began to deal with man on the basis of the age of innocence. When Adam and Eve failed God, God began to deal with men in a new age. It was known as the age of conscience. And so one age after another has followed until we are now in what is commonly referred to as the age of grace. This age of grace will come to an end before too long. It will end parenthetically, with a parenthetical age rather, known as the tribulation, more of which we will discuss as we pursue the answer to these particular questions. We, of course, do not have time to list for you all the ages in which God has dealt with men. There are seven of them. But our outline studies of the Gospel of Matthew, which are available to you without charge, all you need to do is write and ask for them, will present to you a listing of these ages and the passages of Scripture in which they may be found. So do write and get your copy of these outlines for this very important information. Do be with us when we meet together again and pursue the answer to these very important questions.